One day out of the blue, they just stopped talking to me.
Oh, gosh.
They excluded me actively. Do you know what? It's still coming up now. I do record a lot of stuff.
It's like hanging out with a spy. It's so hurtful, Nikki, isn't it?
Oh, it was awful. Mitigating that desire to share, which can go into oversharing too early.
Absolutely.
You know, your new best friend on a call to a call centre.
I want to say, I'm a singer too.
Me too.
I'm a runner too. I'm a da-da-da too.
Yes, absolutely. We might have the odd note about something to talk about. On the rare occasion, we might dry up.
Dry up.
Yeah, exactly, as if. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Nikki. And hello, everybody. Thank you for listening today. So, Nikki, what have you been up to recently?
Well, as you know very well, we've just had a weekend in Sheffield for our national, slightly international competition. And we did very well. And we had a fabulous weekend with all our Vocal Dimension buddies. And it's brought up some thoughts. And it's to do with, ta-da, connection.
Woo-hoo.
What episode are we on? 13. And we finally got to connection.
Now, I'm going to interject here because you say we had a fantastic weekend away. There was an incident in the first 20 seconds of us getting on the bus that for you, that is the opposite of connection and probably worth sharing because, go on, you share what happened.
Oh, yeah, you just had to bring this up, didn't you? Okay, so a not at all typical ADHD happening occurred. So I'm sitting on the bus, we've just got on.
Hadn't even pulled away.
No, sitting there. And shit! And you looked at me and my wife looked at me. My phone is sitting in the kitchen, plugged in. So I've got a whole weekend away, 3 days. Lots of photo opportunities and all that stuff. No phone.
And also recording. You record a lot of stuff, don't you?
I do. I do record a lot of stuff. And as you can imagine,
it's like hanging out with a spy.
I mean, like.
No, I really felt for you, Nick, because it's like having a limb missing, isn't it?
Oh, thank God my wife was there, and bless her, because she was very generous and allowed me, because it's my alarm for my pills. It's my alarm for waking up in the morning. It's obviously the normal things like photos, checking emails.
Oh.
And actually, I did miss a really important email as a result of not having my phone with me. I mean, really important. That might cost me a lot of money. So that's the ADHD tax again.
Oh, no.
It's not the end of the world, but it's probably cost me quite a lot of money. We almost went back as we were leaving with a friend in the car. We were leaving to come and catch the bus. And we realised that something else we hadn't got with us. And I just said, oh, no, it's fine. Let's just go. So we nearly came back. And then I would have realised that I'd had my phone and I didn't. So it's one of those things that I'm sure other people can relate to, that your mind's on other things. You're busy. You're trying to get out.
So how did you manage with the disconnect? We're talking about connection. How did you manage with the disconnect?
Well, I managed my mind well, actually, because my brain started to ruminate on all the things I wouldn't be able to do. And I thought, no, we're not going there. We're not going there. We're going to focus on all these lovely people around us and we're going to feel that sense of connection. And we're going to, Nikki, this is me talking to myself, so the two of us are going to not allow our brain to go down that rabbit hole. We're going to focus on the positive. And largely I did. And thank goodness. I mean, obviously, if I'd been on my own, it would have been very different. But with my partner there, my wife, it was okay. Because some of the things like the alarms and she took some photos and other people did. So it wasn't the end of the world. But a number of people said to me, oh, I bet it's liberating. No! No, it's not liberating even slightly. No.
But you did cope really well. I have to say, you were really cheery. You threw yourself into the weekend. You didn't sort of...
Oh, thank you.
It would have stressed me. There's no two ways about it. I would have found that really hard.
Well, I think a few years ago, I would have been a lot more stressed, but I've got more of a handle on controlling my mind, and it's, and I've learned that I can control it. You know, in singing we do that song, I can control my breath.
Yeah.
I can control my breath. Yeah. Well, that always makes me laugh.
Because you can't.
Yeah, right. But actually, I can. Well, ish. I'm better than I was 12 years ago, but work in progress. But I think I'm better at controlling my mind than my breath. Let's put it that way. It's quite interesting. And I would never have said that. So it just shows if you keep at it. And just for the sake of full disclosure, you know, this is not absolutely consistent, but the good bits are more prevalent now. So the bits, I say the good bits, the bits where I feel like I can control it. And that weekend was actually another example of it.
Yeah. And you say that about controlling your mind. I've been working a lot with clients on that think, feel, act. Mm. You know, what we think becomes what we feel.
Yep.
And then what we feel affects how we act.
Yes.
And so it's really getting a handle and a real vice-like grip on that thinking, isn't
yep.
it? Which, yep. which seems... I don't know. We all believe in being able to improve our bodies and improve our muscles and go down the gym or whatever and develop that way. But people don't necessarily think about developing their mind other than learning stuff.
Yes.
But you can learn to develop your mind, and, you know, how you control your thinking is really important. Mm. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But going back to connection. So you said that weekend away with everybody sort of really made you think about connection. In what way?
Yeah, well, as with many ADHDs, if not all, this kind of overlaps a little bit with RSD, rejection sensitive dysphoria, because it's feeling disconnected that's so tricky. And I think that's the root of RSD. It's that feeling of a loss of connection. And I was listening to a Huberman lab, Dr. Jaeger, I think it was, had a quick refresher this morning, and he was talking about the need for tribe. And the bit that I thought was really interesting was that with our parents, we look to them to look after us, or our caregivers, whoever they happen to be, when we're children. And then as we move into adolescence, because basically if we're children and we're not looked after, basically we die. That's the end of it. So it's a strong survival instinct to feel connected to your parents or the people around you anyway, whoever they happen to be. This is down to attachment styles and all sorts of things we could talk about. But when you move into adolescence, you start to rely on your peer group, you know, your friendship group, to provide that feeling of being taken care of. And if those connections feel wobbly, then that can affect your sense of security and your sense of safety.
Mm.
And that can lead to all sorts of ADHD behaviours, like trying too hard and being too much, because you're trying different strategies to make connections either individually or with the group. So one of the lovely things about our chorus is that there is generally, I mean, 36 women, and we all get on.
Mm.
We're not all busy mates,
yeah.
but we all get on. There's, you know, there's nobody in the chorus I don't like.
There's a space for everybody, isn't there? And you're welcomed as you are. It is very, very inclusive, very warm.
Yeah, it's lovely. And that's created from the top down, thanks to our lovely director and the team. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the culture of,
I'm not saying there aren't ever any issues and that the likes of me and possibly the don't ever get triggered, but that's our stuff. It's not about the culture of the organisation or the group.
Yeah.
So I had a situation when I was 14, no, must have been younger than that, 13. And I just moved fairly recently when I was 12. So second year of what in my case was grammar school, secondary school. And I just started to feel like I was part of the group.
Mm.
Because obviously I went in there and I was being ta-da and being too much. That was my coping strategy. My poor brother being on the other side of things, he was very much the loner and very quiet. Whereas my coping strategy was to be quite out there. And so some people liked that and some people didn't, as ever. But I'd sort of started to calm down and establish myself in my class.
Yeah.
And I had a coach on the way to school in the morning. It was a bus on the way home, but a coach on the way in the morning. And there were two girls on there, one from my year and one from the year below. And they were busy mates. And they sort of included me, which felt really lovely. It was just, you know, half an hour every morning. And I wouldn't say I looked forward to it, but it was part of the fabric of me becoming part of something, feeling okay and accepted. And then one day out of the blue, and I might get tearful here, even though I've worked on it a lot, one day out of the blue, they just stopped talking to me.
Oh, gosh.
They excluded me actively. Oof. Do you know what? It's still coming up now. And this was one day. It lasted 3 months. 3 months, every day. And it was a form of bullying.
Absolutely.
I didn't tell anybody. I don't know why I didn't tell anyone, because I was very close to my mum, but I don't know. I don't know why I didn't tell anyone, but that's interesting. I might have a look at that. And then suddenly one day they started talking to me again. So if this had happened at my age now, on your bike.
Yeah.
I'd have dealt with it very differently. But, you know, when you're 13, 14, it's very different. And you're an ADHD kid who's probably at least a couple of years younger than most people of your age, emotionally, mature-wise. So I was obviously pathetically grateful that they were talking to me again. Part of me was thinking it was a bit off. But then, bless me, I was very brave. And I asked them why they hadn't talked to me.
I was going to ask you if you ever asked them.
It was one of the brave... I do... count one of my strengths is that I'm brave about things.
Yeah.
It's either that or I can't bear not knowing. This is somewhere between the two. So I asked and sort of gritted my teeth and crossed my fingers and waited. And do you know what they said?
No, what?
I said, why did you not talk to me? Oh, we just did it for a laugh.
Hilarious. God, that's awful.
So that was an interesting experience because on the one hand, obviously, I didn't trust them from then on.
No.
I wasn't ever as... They weren't friends of mine after that. I didn't probably change my behaviour towards them, but inside I knew they weren't friends and I couldn't trust them.
Bing.
And I think... I'm just going to give myself a pat on the back because that didn't stop me trusting people in the future.
Mm, yeah, well done.
For which I'm incredibly grateful because it could have done.
Mm. It's so hurtful, Nikki, isn't it?
Oh, it was awful.
Mm.
So... I have a tendency, I'm a friend kleptomaniac. I do have a lot of good friends and I seek connection.
Mm.
And one of the reasons I love coaching is that I seek connection and therefore I get the connection with the right people and with other ADHDs especially. There is that connection and I love it. That's one of the things that I get out of the coaching sessions.
Mm.
It's one of the main things and the sense of purpose and other things. But it's joyful for me feeling that deep connection because you're not... Back to our small talk and the lift doors. It's not in that sphere at all. It's the complete opposite, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I first of all, thank you for sharing that because I'm really sad you went through that as a teenager, which is so formative. I went through something similar as an adult and it really affected me.
Oh, what was that, if you want to say?
Oh, well, I had these friends that I'd been through quite a lot with. And then we also went to parties together. We were part of the same social circle. And all of a sudden, we stopped being invited.
Oh.
And they were having these parties and everything. And I could see them on social media and I wasn't being invited. And I always would have been. And
oh.
But whenever I saw them, they acted as if there was nothing wrong. But it was really obvious there was. And I even phoned them up one day and said, look, what's going on? And they just were like, oh no, nothing. And we just sort of drifted apart and I never really found out what it was. But then years later, they did say to a friend of mine that they felt that they treated me really badly. And it was some bizarre complex. They got in with this other group of people who had an issue with something my husband had once said, and it just really clouded them.
Oh,
I'm very over it, as you can hear, but it was horrible to go through. It really bugged me, that rejection sensitivity. But just, I don't like people being mean.
No. And the thing is, do you think they realised at the time they were being mean? Was it actively being mean or was it just not being aware?
I don't know. I think they knew, especially when I phoned them up and said how horrible it was and I was really hurt. That was a pretty big sign.
Yeah, that's a clue.
I don't know. I think they probably felt bad about it. And afterwards, they sort of apologised to a mutual friend, said, oh, we don't feel we were very fair for Carrie. It was just a strange, difficult time. But I think one of the things that I'm very good at is moving. I am genuinely good at moving on from things. But it's that moving on. I will see them around. I would say, hi, we're still friends on social media and things like that.
Mm.
But would I trust them? Like, not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
They're out of that inner circle. So to link back about connection and how you connect with people, you were saying about building that bond. And we've spoken on here before about how neither of us particularly like small talk.
Well, as in not at all.
Not at all. I can do functional, like I've said. Mm. You know, I've just come from a networking meeting and I can go along and say, oh, you know, how interesting, tell me about your business and
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. But actually, it's perfectly good example. This morning, I met a guy at this networking meeting and we ended up talking for about half an hour about really interesting. We had a really deep conversation about something. Love that. Small talk, no. When I run, we go out in the group and it's good because you can be quiet and listen to other people chatting and just sort of chip in a bit. It's that slightly different when you're just standing in a group having to chat. I put a thing in our WhatsApp group last week saying, oh, I'm going out for a run at 6:30 if anybody's around and wants to come. And somebody I don't really know said, yes, I'll come along for a run with you. And I thought, oh, I don't really know her very well. And there's a slight part of me that has a real social anxiety about that. Like, I've got to be running with this person for an hour or so and I don't know them. Mm. But of course, I needn't to worry, because one thing I think women are particularly good at is, I mean, we were 5 minutes into this run and we were into children, marriages, divorce, being step parents, postnatal depression, you know, and we absolutely filled it. And I think this is the thing that I love. And we went on a different run on Sunday morning and I was in a different group and we were all going through various things and we sort of shared about that. And there was this like sisterhood solidarity that came out of just having that shared experience where you say something and people go, oh my gosh, I absolutely get that. Mm. Like one of the ladies, she had this brilliant line, because we were talking about that responsibility you sometimes feel you have for a household or you take on board. And I said, you know, sometimes you just feel you're emotionally responsible for everybody else in the family. And when you struggle with emotional regulation, that's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And this lady I was running with, she said, yeah, she said, I'm the happiness lead in my house. And I thought, oh, I love that line. Yeah. And we all messaged each other separately afterwards. We're just like, thank you so much for that. And it's connection.
Yeah.
And I felt so much lighter afterwards, because not only had I felt like I'd really connected with these women, but it's connection, it's a shared experience. It's where I love that feeling when you come together and you all go, oh, this is hard. And people affirm. I think that's what I like, people being able to affirm each other's struggles. Mm. And that's where that ADHD connection, you know, what we have, Nikki, and hopefully what we know our listeners have shared, because people have messaged and emailed us and said that.
Yeah.
But it's that shared struggle, shared experience, and then be able to laugh about it, actually, because you know it's shared, is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think going into a message we've got this week from someone, and it was lovely to get. And again, the word relatable came up.
Yes.
And this actually ties in nicely with where I was thinking of going, which is that oversharing thing. And I wonder, because of our audience, I hope that we're not oversharing, but we are vulnerable and we say things that, you know, if we were being professional coaches, we might not want the world to know. Well, blow that. We're going to be honest about stuff. And, you know, the point is we're work in progress like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the strength of what we're doing here, is that we are prepared to go there. But it is very ADHD, that wanting to meet somebody at the bus stop and within 10 minutes they know your life story and your inside leg measurements and everything. There was an article in Attitude magazine recently talking about too much information, giving away too much, and knowing your target audience and who you're talking to, basically, and whether you can check in with your best friend if they were at a party with you, and was I actually too much? Did I say too much about myself to start with? But I think by all accounts, and I agree with this, it seems to come from a desire to make a connection. If you share, they will.
Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't always work that way. But one of the things that they mention, and I was already thinking this, is that if you've got a friend like your running buddy that you were going to meet and you had that slight social anxiety, one of the strengths you and I have as coaches is that we can ask a question.
Yeah.
a bit like you said about the chat this morning or the networking group.
Yeah.
You can ask a question and people always want to talk about themselves. Yeah. So they're off and running. So if you're ever not sure, just ask a question. And that also has the effect of taking the attention away from yourself and mitigating that desire to share, which can go into oversharing too early.
Absolutely.
You know, your new best friend on a call to a call centre. I do joke about that. There's somebody at HMRC that I had to talk to. Jamie, he was my best friend because he sorted out some money they owed me that nobody had been able to sort out for months. And he happened to know somebody who he used to work with, and he managed to collar her at the water cooler or the coffee machine. She went off to her computer. He sat there with her for 5 minutes and they sorted it.
Oh.
It's who you know and all that. And he really was my new best friend for a little while. He was lovely, Geordie chap.
I think you're right. It is that desire to connect. I sometimes find it I want you to know that I have something in common with you.
Mm.
So if I'm hearing somebody talk and they mention something, say, about singing or running, I want to say, I'm a singer too.
Me too.
I'm a runner too. I'm a da-da-da too.
Yes, absolutely.
Not because I want them to know that about me in isolation.
Yeah.
If I didn't know that about them, it wouldn't be something I brought up. But it absolutely is wanting to sort of be like, yes, me too, me too, me too. Let's connect.
But is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But
see, some people will think it is.
I think there's a time and a place for it, because I certainly know people who, when someone else is talking, you could be sharing something and they will listen to you and then go straight into blah 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 without there being any overlap with their story.
Yep.
So I think it's, for me, on the odd side as well. Learning conversation is quite useful. I remember being in my mid-20s, my oldest son was really little, and my self-esteem was very low. And I was at this party with lots of sort of mid-20s, early 30s people who worked in the media and marketing, or all doing very well for themselves.
Mm.
And I felt like I just had nothing to contribute. So I was terrified that people were going to say, oh, what do you do? And I was going to say, oh, I'm a mum. And, you know, I felt my self-esteem was very low, but I didn't yet have that conversational skill that you're saying of just ask people loads of questions about them. But I also know that I sometimes go too far with that and I sound like I'm interviewing somebody. My dad does that. My dad is on the autistic spectrum, and I know people have said, gosh, you felt like I was being interviewed by your dad.
Yeah.
But he feels like he's being friendly and chatty, and it's because he likes people and he wants to know, and he doesn't particularly share about himself.
So he could share a bit more.
He could share a bit more, but it's getting the balance right. It's navigating that. It's knowing when to share and when to not, and when it is too much.
Yep.
I think now I've developed that internal, largely, not always. I mean, give me a few drinks, that internal edit button has completely disappeared.
Yes.
But generally speaking, there is enough of a sensible... I have a moderator who works within me who will say, don't interrupt.
Yeah.
And let them finish. And this is where you are. Ask a question. Ask a follow-up question.
Mm.
Don't launch into, I know. I feel like that too. Because you want to connect with them.
Yeah.
Sort of pretend to be normal.
What? Oh, I do hope not. I was just thinking, in the coaching sphere, the coaching has really helped me, because the very first event I went to, which was a free, literally free, two-day event up in Kensington in those days, and a friend of mine came up with me. And on the way home, on the train home on the first day, I was asking questions where I might have actually given an opinion or something.
Yeah.
And it was before and after in my life. It changed everything.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I hadn't learned anything up until then, but it was really interesting that my whole focus shifted literally over the course of a day. And the power of questions. And as you say, it's getting the balance right. You don't want to ask too many. And then you, a bit like we do on here, we make a statement or we ask a question, we talk, and then we hand the baton over and the other person takes it and then we hand it back. And yes, I know there's some editing that goes on. But it's not usually in that respect. It's in terms of just cutting out silences or if we fluff some words or something. So we genuinely have the ability to listen to the other person and then we're not spending the whole time the other person's talking. At least I'm not. You may disagree, but you don't appear to be spending the whole time thinking about what you're going to say.
No.
We might have the odd note about something to talk about. On the rare occasion, we might dry up.
Dry up.
Yeah, exactly, as if. One day. Probably episode 86, 10 minutes in. No, I've definitely benefited from the coaching because I am so interested in what they're saying. I go into a different mode.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not interested in friends, and I am, absolutely. But it's, I don't know, it's the coaching space. I'm like a laser beam. And on days where I wake up with a fuzzy brain fog, once we get into the deeper meaningfuls and the interesting stuff and the fun and everything else, I can feel my brain sort of, I'm doing it with my hands. They're like going into a point at the front, like vroom. It turns into a sort of a mini laser beam. I wonder if that's possible to bring into daily life more. How could I do that?
What, your laser beam?
Yeah, that's an interesting... Well, no, I do, because like you were saying about the chap you had the conversation with this morning, I suspect your laser beam appeared because he was interesting.
Yeah, he was. Mm. I mean, I won't go to it because probably wouldn't anybody else would find it interesting, but it was...
It wasn't Lift Doors then.
It wasn't Lift Doors. No, and to be honest, it wasn't about either of our business. He was ex-military and he was talking about having worked with young people as a youth worker. And we were sort of talking about society and parenting and all sorts, you know.
Mm.
Oh, I tell you what it came out about. It was about the national service thing.
Oh, yes.
That's where it came from and what we thought of that and his experience.
Yeah.
It was an interesting conversation to me. I'd rather talk about that than the sort of Lift Doors type of thing.
Something meaningful.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have been interested in that.
But you say about oversharing on this podcast. You see, the other thing that I find difficult is that I don't always remember what I've shared on this podcast. And then somebody who's listened to it will come up to me and say, oh, do I need to come and talk to you about something like astrophysics now? And I think, I don't know what they're talking about. And they're like, but you don't like small talk. You want to talk about important things. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, I did say that on a podcast.
Mm.
So it's interesting. Not that those things aren't, I mean, they are true, but you forget that you've shared them is what I'm saying in this public forum.
Well, you see, I have a slight advantage here because doing the editing, I probably listen to each one about, I don't know, a dozen times.
Yes.
Something by the time I've done it all.
Yes.
Obviously, I'll send it to you before we go live with it and you can tell me if you want anything taken out. But generally, we're pretty free and easy about it because that's how we are as people.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I do go up to a bus stop and tell everybody my life story now. And I'm not sure I ever have quite to that extent. But I'm aware that, you know, if you're at the checkout in the supermarket, then I do talk about stuff. I don't just say it's not just transactional. And the reason I do that is something I learned from my mum, which goes along the lines of, oh, that's a lovely blouse you've got on or whatever it happens to be. Oh, that colour really suits you. Obviously, if it does, you're not going to make it up. And it's finding something nice. And that's a form of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that from my mum and I still do it. And we both sent a message saying thank you to somebody for running the chorus last night.
Mm.
And that's the sort of people we are. And I think that's really important. And I know when I worked in a supermarket and all my mates were on the checkouts when I was sort of 17 doing my A-levels and we were all working in the same shop. And they were on the checkouts and I was lucky that I was working in the butchery so I could sort of wander about and I wasn't stuck at the checkout all day. But I know from them how mind-numbing it was, even in those days where you actually had to do something, it wasn't just scanning. And I just think those little moments of connection with people make such a difference to people's days.
Yeah.
I do it naturally, but it is a semi-conscious thing and you know, smile at people when they walk past.
Yeah.
Now, there's an old lady up the road who, I've never actually really talked to her very much other than just, you know, quick pleasantry. But we smile at each other and she's out with her walker and I'm going off up the hill. And it's just those little bits of connection that make a difference in people's lives, including mine, because I get something from it too. It's not like I'm being Lady Bountiful here.
Well, I was reading something the other day. It was somebody with ADHD writing it. And they were saying about this sort of sixth sense, which I think we have a few sixth senses, actually. But this one is to do, I think, with connection. And it's about energy.
Mm.
That you energetically pick up on other people. So you know, you notice when people are stressed. I think we've talked about this before. You notice when people are stressed, people are, or whatever. But I think that is about connection, that
yep.
energy comes in these waves. And I think we like to synchronize our waves with other people.
Yes.
And I think that's what we find hard when there's a lack of almost energetic connection. I can feel it in my body if I
yeah.
if I'm disconnected with somebody.
Yes, me too. I feel very uncomfortable and discombobulated. I was just thinking about, we both love animals. You've got your dog and I've got my little cat, Pebbles. And it was interesting, when my wife moved in a few years ago, Pebbles adopted her straight away. And that was like the test, if you like. She passed the test. Pebbles plunked herself on Lib's lap and just stayed there and started washing. And I said, well, you're in. And in all the 7 years we've lived together, I've never felt jealous of Lib's connection with Pebbles, even though she was originally my cat.
Mm.
Well, she's not my cat, I'm a her person. Because Pebbles is so affectionate. I call her a cog. She's more like a cross between a cat and a dog.
Yeah.
And she is always up for affection, and she always purrs when you go near her. And if you touch her little shoulder or her head, she leans into you. And so there is no doubt about her connection with me ever. And so I don't feel less than when she goes to sit on Lib's lap. In fact, sometimes it's a relief because I'm too hot or I just want to move. And she's gone and got some company with Lib. And it's, I think that's the same with people for me, is that if I feel topped up and not wobbly and safe with somebody,
yeah,
and they're consistent, then I can relax and I don't mind what they do. As long as they're the person that I feel connected with when I'm with them, then I don't really mind.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, it's not like I need to be clinging with people. I actually want freedom. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's that trusting the connections, yeah. Which, of course, goes back to the school coach.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's about having those foundations in the relationship. You know that there is that level of trust and connection. And so long as they are in place, everything else is doable. I've said that about my relationship with my husband. That is such a core relationship in my life. I have a few, I would say, that one being the obvious one.
Mm.
If those relationships are all right, I can deal with pretty much anything else that shows me. But if there's a disconnect there,
yeah.
And he sometimes says to me, I'll say, oh, I feel we're a bit disconnected at the moment. I mean, A, he's a bloke. B, he's not neurodivergent. So I don't think he thinks about it or he senses it. And he will sometimes say, but we've spent the day together or something. And I think, yeah, but we haven't really.
No.
There's not really that connection emotionally because we've been doing other things.
Yeah.
So it's finding those ways to really feel, like I said, it's those energy waves are synchronized. And that's when I feel really connected with people.
It physically
jars me when those go out of sync.
Yeah. So it's like you're both surfing the same wave.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, rather than battling against one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Well, as ever, that was a lovely wiggly journey.
Yes.
And just for the record, thank you for joining me on this connection.
Ah.
Because it means a lot to me, as does our friendship. So thank you.
Me too. Right back at you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, mate.
And I'll see you soon.
You will. Take care.
Take care, Nick.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theadhdconnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.